Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for your presence here this afternoon. With one heart to declare praise and honor unto your name, for you are a God, the Lord, Shalom, and who brings peace. And so thank you, Lord, in the midst of much lack of peace, for being our God to bring peace in our lives. And so, Lord, as we come this afternoon to proclaim your word and to be shaped by your word, would your Holy Spirit be the one to awaken our mind, bring understanding as to what it is that you are calling us to. So we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's see. My Thanksgiving is also a Thanksgiving that Grant and Robert survived the 6-day trip. Is that 6 days? Did you make it in 6 days? 5 days? Oh, amazing. 5 days. And if you heard about their trip, they went through much temptation and trials. And they learned the lesson not to succumb to cheap things, cheap places. So, but the Lord was gracious to protect them, to give them safe journey, no accident, no falling asleep on the road. That could be what a dangerous thing. I took a trip from East Coast about, let's see. I also took about 5 or 6 days. And stopped by 2 days in Colorado Springs. But I remember just kind of like mindlessly driving forever. But when I fell asleep, I was getting drowsy. Then I napped for 30 minutes and that was much better. Praise the Lord. Another thing I'm thankful for is I visited one of my older brothers, Nab brother from Korea's house for dinner. And so it was great. It was, I think, a couple of Saturdays ago. And then I got a text saying his son previous week went to a retreat and 5 people from that retreat caught the coronavirus. And I said, what? Anyway, the next day the son took the test. And so a week later found out that he didn't catch the coronavirus. So his parents are okay, so therefore I'm okay. So praise the Lord for protecting my friend's family, but also me. And I'm thankful for protecting our networks of relationship, our church people and fellowship people. So far, I don't think anybody we know has got contracted, right? So praise the Lord. Thank God for that. But even if we do get contracted, do not be dismayed, for I am your God, God says, right? So let's trust in the Lord and trust that the Lord will protect us. Even if we contract, that he would heal us quickly. But I see that Albert finally is enjoying, Albert and Jen are enjoying shalom in his apartment situation. That is it close to shalom? Or is it okay? So at least the water is not leaking, and so pray for them so that they would experience peace with his neighbor, probably more than anything. Yeah. So last week I started on the topic of Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, and it comes from Judges, right? Or is it? Judges 6:24, where after he builds, he sees the angel face to face and having not died and having heard from him, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. So this is the famous one place where God is called the Lord our peace, Lord our peace. So I talked about the definition of what it means to the Lord, what it means that the Lord is our peace. And so I summarized it in part one, saying the Lord, our peace means the Lord is our rest, our well-being, our safety, our fullness of blessing in the spirit, soul, and body. Well, that covers a lot, right? That covers every aspects of a man's life to be at peace. And then I shared about, I concluded that last week's message with, so how did Gideon experience the Lord as his peace? So how did he experience the Lord our peace? And I concluded that even in spite of his weaknesses, fear and low self-esteem, some things that Gideon did properly is that he feared God. He was a fearful man, fearing danger, death, people, enemy. But the other fear that he had, which was a proper fear, is a fear of God. He had fear of God, and he worshiped him. When he realized the Lord is the one who is approaching him and has initiated his calling for him to rescue Israel, you know, he worshiped God. He feared and worshiped God. And at the end of the day, even though he had fears of what would the townspeople say if he destroys Baal and Asherah, you know, the foreign temple idols, he was faithful to obey. He was faithful to obey. So in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our hesitation, if we know God is the one who is instructing us and calling us, you know, just at the end of the day, doing it no matter what, even with the fear. This kind of reminds me when I was being blessed in my younger days with the conference, and then, you know, just being filled more. I had a lot of things to share, but you know what I had at that time was a stage fright. You know, somehow me and my whole family had stage fright somehow. We all kind of got over it. So something must happen within our family that all the brothers and sisters had stage fright. So, but anyway, but I had things to share. So whenever we get together as a fellowship group or a small group, you know, my heart's pounding. So what I did was, even though I was afraid, I always raised my hand first and shared. And the reason why I did that is because then I could enjoy the rest of the sharing. Because if I didn't share first, it's like, dun, 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 am I going to share or not? So I learned early that even though I was scared of sharing, you know, if God gave me something to share, I should share. And so I just went on with it. So I think probably Gideon had some fears, but in spite of the fear, he obeyed God. So if we, and therefore, he gained a victory for Israel, definitely with God's help. And there was peace in the land, and he became a valiant warrior. He overcame, I believe, a lot of the fear that he had. So the way Gideon experienced the Lord, Shalom, is by fearing God, worshiping him, and faithfully obeying him, led to peace in his life and peace for Israel. So then the rest of the message could be another two or three messages, but I'm going to zip through. So that was the third part, but the fourth part is how can we experience this Shalom from the Old Testament. So this topic of peace is all over the Bible. Not only this situation with Gideon, and he is the one who declared Jehovah Shalom, but Shalom is mentioned all throughout the Bible. And so God wants us to experience his peace in the way we described it above. And essentially, the Lord as our rest, well-being, safety, fullness, a blessing in our spirit, soul, and spirit. You know, he wants us to experience him. God is the source of this peace. And then all throughout scripture, God teaches us how we may experience that too as well. How can we experience God? You know, we could learn from Gideon, but you know, there's many ways that we can experience that peace. So the first, if we look, okay, we'll start from this side and start reading the verses. So go ahead, Jack, you can start.
Trust in the Lord forever, for in God.
Oh, in the beginning.
Oh, sorry. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock.
Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Oh, does this remind you of a verse? Isaiah 26, 3. Right? You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So God is saying he will keep our soul in perfect peace if we are steadfast in trusting God. So in trusting all that God is, and you know much about God, or even to this point, how God revealed himself to you. Now, knowing God is one thing, but trusting God is another, right? Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say that he is my resting place and strong fortress in whom I trust. So how do you dwell in the shelter of the Most High? Under his pinion. You know what pinion is? The soft feather part of the bird. You know, he wants us to dwell in the shadow of his wing in the soft pinion area. Ah, cuddly, you know. Woo, comfortable, peaceful. Well, how do you get under the shadow of the, you know, God's wing? Is when we trust that he is my resting place and strong fortress. And I always kind of thought, so how do you get under his wings? I know that it's a good thing to get under his wings, but I was meditating. One day I found out, oh my goodness, it's trust. How do I get under the wing? Trust that he is my strong fortress and resting place, and I am under his wings. So, but we need to be steadfast according to this verse. Trust in the Lord forever, it says, right? Not just trust for one time, but trust, and again. And that's where, because he is also everlasting rock. I mean, that's another name of God, by the way. We don't want to cover that right now. That we will experience perfect peace. How do you say perfect peace in the Bible, in the Hebrews? Shalom, shalom. Okay, turn to the next person and say, shalom, shalom. You know, our words stands is pretty powerful. So that's why we say, you know, scripture says, so when a righteous man blesses a city is blessed indeed. So I told these guys as they're traveling from city to towns that they should bless each cities, you know. Yeah, hybrid, bless them, bless the cities. Oh yeah, they're righteous, of course. They believe in Christ, they're righteous. So, but a practically righteous man is more powerful. So our words are pretty powerful. And so when you say shalom, shalom, it's really, oh, actually I'm getting ahead. There's one part that comes in. So anyway, next one, go ahead, Jesse.
And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. Then my people will live in a peaceful habitation and in secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. Isaiah 32:17-18.
So how do you experience the shalom, quietness, and confidence forever? Peaceful habitation, secure dwelling, and undisturbed resting place. How do you experience it? Doing the work of righteousness. Service of righteousness, work of righteousness. If we engage our lives, focus on doing righteous things, who would want to harm you? Right? Everybody will be at peace with you when you do the right thing for them. Right thing for others, right thing for myself. So work of righteousness, service of righteousness, leads to quietness and confidence. So you know, do you know that a man of peace has weightiness? They're quiet and confident. I like to think my dad was kind of like that. He was a very quiet, calm person. And then when you come around them, you feel the weightiness. And I don't feel that about myself, though. But a person who is, you know, enjoying that shalom, man of peace, there's a quietness and confidence forever, enjoying the peaceful habitation, secure dwelling, undisturbed resting place. So, of course, you know, life is not always like undisturbed, but even if God tests his righteous person, as we continue to live righteously, it can only lead to quietness and confidence, peaceful habitation, secure dwelling, and undisturbed resting place. So work of righteousness is how. Service of righteousness is how. Next.
If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would never be blotted out nor destroyed from before me. Isaiah 48:18-19.
What a promise, right? Only if you paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like a waves of the sea. Wow. So paying attention to the command of God, right? There's some definitely Old Testament commands we need to follow, New Testament commands to follow by Christ. So it will do us good to pay attention. Pay attention, of course, to understand and to live it. Then you will have peace like a river, you know, your well-being like waves of the sea. You know the song, I have peace like the river, I have peace like the river, I have peace like the river in my soul. Hallelujah, right? We haven't sang that song in such a long time. I think we should bring that back. There's some other stuff, right? What is it? Peace like the river, joy like a fountain, peace like the river, and so on. Well, it comes from this passage. And so the peace originates from God because God is the God of shalom. But we need to heed his commands. Heed his commands. So, you know, that's why we learn in our ministry, you know, part of the basics is obedient Christian living, right? Part of the basics is we have Jesus as a Lord, our lives in obedience to Christ. Amen? Okay, and the other part of the promise is your descendants will be like the sand and children like its numbers of grains, and you'll never be blotted out of, you know, blot out, destroyed before me. Oh, it's very secure salvation promises, you know? So you'll be saved and your children will be saved. How many of you want to have like, you know, grape-like generations? Yes, physically. I mean, I'm talking about physically too. So I hope you have grape-like generations after you. And so when you're about to die, may you have like, you know, hundreds of your grandchildren. I'm not sure that many, but... great grandchildren to come before you, right? But this is a promise for those who pay attention to the word of God, pay attention to God's command. Next.
Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble.
Okay, so this is similar to the previous. If we love the law of God and pay attention to his commands, we will not stumble. You know, that's another promise, is that it'll keep us from stumbling and losing that peace. Okay, next.
deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Proverbs 12:20.
You know, another way to enjoy peace is gathering for yourselves counselor of peace. And hopefully you could be a counselor of peace to other people. That you would receive counsel of peace from other people who will lead you in the direction of God's peace, right? When somebody counsels you, which way are they counseling you? Are they counseling you to be successful in Jesus or in the world? You know, in your career. And it could be, those are you know, useful counsel. But the greatest counsel is a counsel that leads you towards Christ and following Him. Because the Lord is our peace. So gather for yourselves counselors who would lead you to peace. You know, I was just talking to Grant today, and he's doing some business transaction. And Grant has, you know, God has blessed him to have such a humble heart. He wanted to come back to our ministry saying, Pastor Min, I want to learn from you. What, you know, that's a Holy Spirit, you know, given heart attitude. What a blessing. But, you know, even in his dealing with the business test, he said to me, I think if I would have gotten some more counsel about Asian culture, it might have been better. So that's pretty humble of Grant too, you know, realizing, you know, getting good counsel would be helpful rather than not getting good counsel. So getting counsel, however, to lead us to Christ, to walk in His path, to obey His calling, is probably the path to peace in the Lord. Peace in the Lord. I don't know about peace in the world. Sometimes when we try to follow Jesus's path, there's oppositions in the world. Now those are, yes, not a peace, but then at least in the sight of God and in your relationship with God, you will have peace if you walk with Him. Okay, let's go ahead. Okay, Grant, I think. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Great.
He said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me.
So Daniel, you know, heard from God, oh, man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. And then Daniel said, after you spoke to me, I have received strength. And may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And so I think what this refers to is we need to hear from God. Hear from God for our personal situations. Ask God to speak to us personally through His word for our situation. And when you get a special word from God, you know, then there's a sense of peace. You know, I'm not sure if this was a word from God, but it was a revelation from God. Help me to understand. You know, I told you that I experienced an amazing miracle of my facial pain getting much better after taking albendazole since last December. But you know, that healed about 95%. But I still feel some, not definitely anything close to what I had last year. I was hurting for 8 months last year. So compared to 8 months of pain, starting December, literally no pain is like amazing. But when I don't get good sleep consecutively, I feel an inclination. And so I said, why didn't God heal me completely with the albendazole? And a thought came. He left the 5% so that I could trust God, not albendazole. So God didn't use Abednego to completely heal me. About 95%, and so I'm going to still preach Abednego. So, but 5%, I said, why did you completely heal me, God? And I just sense you saying, that's just so that you will trust me. You know, I love Psalms 91, that passage. How do you dwell in the shelter of the Most High? By trusting him. And it says, and even pestilence and darkness will not touch me. That's my promise verse. So for the 5%, I'm going to trust the Lord that he could heal me, because he's the Lord who heals too. We just went through that. Jehovah Rapha, God the healer. So but anyway, when you hear from God, you kind of get encouraged, right? Get strengthened. There's peace when you get word from God. So may God bless you with a personal word for you. God spoke to Daniel personally, and he was strengthened, and he had peace because of that. But, you know, we need to experience some of that. Okay? So next, that was Old Testament, some of the, you know, ways that we could experience his peace. But in the New Testament, how can we experience this from Shalom? Okay, Shalom in the New Testament. So let's start with Jeremy over here.
Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men.
It seems like peace has to do with some responsibility on our part, right? And it's in the context of relationship with all men. So in order to enjoy peace, at least in Romans context, you know, we are called to respect what is right, proper procedure, proper, fair, you know, in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. At least if there's something you can do to maintain peace or promote peace, you should do it. But it says, insofar as it depends on you. That means not all peace depends on you, right? So you would like a peaceful relationship, whether it be even spouse's relationship or family, brother-sister relationship, or, you know, roommate situation. You know, you want peace, and you're, even if you do best you can to promote peace, somehow the other person is not at peace with you. And, you know, you'll come across a fair amount of that, even in your workplaces, right? So, but at the least, what we can do to experience peace is, you know, me, myself, promoting, respecting, doing what would bring peace between a relationship. But you know what? I think that covers about good 90%. If you do the right thing and the respectful thing to other people, treat others as you would like to have them treat you, I think that helps quite a bit of restoring relationships. So do what you can to keep that peace. Next. Conrad?
Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.
So this also seems like something you can do. Rejoice means, you know, I mean, you can't make yourself laugh and laugh and laugh and rejoice, but rejoice is a command. And that means you need to be thinking life with a thanksgiving heart so that you can rejoice. Even in the worst of situation, is there something to rejoice? Jen, in your apartment situation, are you rejoicing? You don't have to think about the water dripping, you know, that's just one thing, but there's so many amazing things I'm sure you're thankful about. So you could choose to rejoice. Especially your husband. You can rejoice about your husband. And Albert, even though the grape, there's no grape in the grapevine, cattle's in the stall, no, you know, no dry wall in my bathroom, I have Jen. So, you know, rejoicing is a choice. By thinking of all the things you can be thankful about. And be made complete. It's kind of coupled with be made complete. be comforted. So when you choose to rejoice, it makes you more complete and comforted. And there's a be like-minded is another important thing. You know, when we're always arguing differences, you know, I mean, we could have different position about many things. But yeah, it's okay. You could agree to disagree, but be more like-minded about things of Christ. Okay, well, if you regarding things of Christ, you could only be like-minded because there's very clear guidance for us in Christ, what we are to be thinking, right? And in choosing to do this and living in peace, you know, God of peace, love and peace will be with you. So as we do our part in this case, God of peace and love will even fall upon you even much, much more. You know, he will help us, bless us with his love and peace. Okay, next.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7.
Well, it's familiar, isn't it? Right? Basically, peace of God comes when you pray. So we need to pray. Pray, not being anxious about things. Well, those things that causes anxiousness, cast it to the Lord and pray about it. And it says here, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. So it has prayer, supplication, and with a thankfulness. You know, make it known to God. And the God of peace, he is the God of peace. Jehovah Shalom. With surpassing comprehension, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts from mind in Christ Jesus. So somehow his peace is beyond our comprehension. So it's like even this. One of our guy from, I mean, it was Mike's convert, I should say, because he did Bible study with it. Professor James in China, right? So he's a professor, no? So he went to Korea to give some kind of a, what do you call it, seminar. And before his turn came, he was just like pounding, and he was so scared, he said. He didn't know if he could present it properly. And so he desperately prayed, God, help me, give me peace. And so suddenly, right before he had to get up there, he said, I just had amazing peace. And he went up there and was able to present the seminar in an, you know, just really effective way. And everybody was just like raving about his presentation. So it was, he experienced a supernatural peace because he was really nervous. And I know what that feels like. I had stage frights, you know, but suddenly God gave him perfect peace. So it is beyond our understanding. This peace God gives is beyond our understanding. So anyway, that point is by praying, making prayer and supplication. Next. Okay.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns.
Yep, this is the Old Testament. Oh, that's the Old Testament. What's an Old Testament doing here? Well, yeah, Romans 10, right? Yeah, anyway, actually, I could quote the other one, right? So, you know who has beautiful feet, right? Those people who preach the gospel, you know? It could look stumpy, but it's still beautiful. You know, if you are preaching the gospel. And what is the gospel? It is the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. You know, doesn't that, Ephesians 6 says that? A feet shot with the gospel of peace. So way to enjoy his peace is continue to proclaim this good news of gospel of peace. And so I don't know about you, when I evangelize, I just get refreshed in the gospel every time. I'm amazed that, wow, that's what Jesus did for me, and I could be resurrected, you know, completely forgiven. You know, it's just a reminder of peace with Christ. And that we'll talk about that with Christ, right? Okay, next one.
For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. Be filled and live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23.
So it's by being filled and living by the Spirit, we can enjoy righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. And peace is definitely part of the Holy Spirit fruit, love, joy, and peace, right? But it requires us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and living by the Spirit. You know, we've been talking about how our ministry is wanting, greater anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? And we should be more concerned monitoring ourselves whether I am being filled with the Spirit, living by the Spirit. Am I enjoying righteousness, peace, and joy of the Spirit rather than eating and drinking? How many of you are more excited about having dinner tonight? Or even every day, I'm looking forward to my lunch, my dinner. You know, people who likes food are people who's actually reverting to the most basic needs of human being. When you don't have other joys, you resort to food and drink. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm just quoting somebody else who said this. I'm not the one who's saying it. Somebody else said that, you know, when people just are into just eating and drinking as their highest form of joy, I mean, they really don't have other joys, other purpose, other pursuit, other encouragement. They just resort to food encourages me. Good drink encourages me. That's why people fall into like alcoholic beverages. When their life is, you know, not encouraging, they just drink and try to get lost. So this is a food and drink is just basic need. That's not what we're called to, right? We're called to a higher enjoyment of life in the Spirit, and that's righteousness, peace, and joy in this situation, right? So seek to be filled and to live by the Spirit. That's the way to be filled, to enjoy peace. Lastly, go ahead.
Caution.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful that the Lord of Christ richly dwells within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God, the Father, for him, creature, and son.
Okay. So it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So that's our calling. But how do you allow the peace of Christ to rule in our heart? There's many things that's listed. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. So letting God's word richly dwell in us is a way to enjoy probably the fullness of the Spirit who brings peace as well. So there's a, you know, peace of Christ comes from the word of God as well. But, you know, another thing is, other thing which is related to the body, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your heart to the Lord. Admonishing one another with psalms, admonishing. You would think admonishing someone is like correcting someone. But to do it with hymns, you know, psalms, spiritual songs, singing, with thankfulness in your heart to God. It seems like there's a thankful spirit, but having a praising God, singing hymns, psalms, and, you know, spiritual songs. So, you know, one thing is maybe if you want to, like, speak the truth in love and admonish someone, maybe you should sing together. Hey there, brother. I love you in the Lord, but if you could just... I don't know if that's what it means, but I think definitely if we sing praises and really genuinely enjoy it, I think we'll be in a spiritually good condition. You can't be in a spiritual bad condition when you're enjoying praise, you know, a lot. And in fact, spiritual song has to do with praising God. If you do a lot of praising God, you know, hopefully the work is done. Any hardness to the heart when you're praising God, it will be softened. So it's by doing that. And then it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So whatever you say or do, do it to honor Jesus, to glorify the Lord, you know, to please the Lord. You know, giving thanks to the Lord again. Actually, this three verses has thanksgiving in each of these verses. Did you see that? And be thankful, verse 15. Thankfulness in your heart, verse 16. Giving thanks to Him, to God the Lord. It seems like that thankful heart leads us to peace of Christ as well. Okay, you know, pretty much done. Actually, there's a lot of passages, but I'm just going to be, just open it all up. I'm going to read it. Let's just have, okay, well, let's see. Why don't you, Jeremy, just read it all. Read it all. I don't want to go one by one, but read it all, okay? Go ahead.
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given
Wait,
to
the
us.
Title is?
Come to Jesus, the Lord our peace.
So we're going to end with, you know, how do you experience peace? The Lord Shalom is Jesus is the Lord Shalom. Why? Because Matthew 11:28, come all who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you. What did I say about rest? Rest is the Shalom. So Jesus is saying, come and enjoy Shalom. So that's why everything here is about Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. On earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased, Luke 2:14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful, John 14:27. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We exult in hope of the glory of God, Romans 5:2. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:13. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us, from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. 2 John 1:3. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13:20-21.
What is the Lord our shepherd in Hebrew? Rohi. So Jehovah Rohi is Jehovah Shalom. It's another thing we can tie with this. Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd of our soul, who is a shepherd of the sheep, is also God of peace. And so what you see here, all across the board here, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The fact that he was born, he was declared as Prince of Peace to bring peace on earth. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. And we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we exult in the hope and the glory of God. The peace with through Christ, we have a relationship with the Father. And because of this peace we have through Jesus, also we have hope of God's glory to be revealed in our lives. Because God is going to work those. And so the rest of them is kind of like a kind of a blessing. Because Jesus is such, you know, Paul in Romans, Thessalonians, and John in 2 John, Hebrews 13, it's just like a blessing upon people. May the peace of Christ really be upon you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, by believing in Christ. May the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstances. Blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us, or be with you. God of peace, that the great shepherd of the sheep will equip you with every good for doing his will. So when Gideon said, you are the Lord, our peace. Lord, our peace. God brought peace and victory in that situation. But there is a reference to envisioning of the Messiah who will come, that he will be bringing that peace, the Lord our peace. He is called the Prince of Peace from the Old Testament, who leaves that peace with us. So may we bless that to each other. May we continue to say, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. And actually, that's what I pray every night too. I used to just say, God, have mercy on us. Mercy on our ministry. We don't deserve your blessing, but have mercy on us. But now I'm saying, God, may you have mercy on us. Be gracious and bless us with peace. So I added that in my prayer. I'm not sure if we want to say, shalom, shalom, when we meet each other. You know, shalom, shalom, if you know what that means. Or we could just say, may God's peace be with you. Peace be with you. And that we would really enjoy that. How is the peace level in our ministry? First of all, how is your peace individually? How's your peaceful life? Yeah, you enjoying peace most of the time. Shalom. And are we enjoying peace in the ministry? I like to think we mostly are peaceful. We're going through some transition, so there might be slightly ruffling of the feathers here and there, maybe. But let's keep our eyes on God the Father, who is Jehovah Shalom. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, who gives us peace. Even if the circumstances changing and maybe not settling, keep our eyes on Jesus. That's where our peace comes from. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word today, helping us to finish our reflection on Jehovah Shalom and how your people bless each other with an expression of shalom, shalom, that perfect peace will be upon us. And Lord, in doing this, we recognize that you are that source of peace, and through our Lord Jesus Christ that you brought us to that peace. And so Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you, and in so far as it depends on us, that we would live peacefully with one another for your sake. So we thank you, God, for again, teaching us and reminding of us how you are the Jehovah Shalom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.